So I always felt like an outsider. I never felt like an insider. And one of the other things I was going to say about being an outsider was, like, sometimes people that met me once I joined the Navy and everything, they the way I speak and everything, they don't think I sound black enough. And so, you know, not being white and not being black enough and trying to find a click, you know. Good luck. Once I got in the military, when I was my first enlistment, I was what they called an electrician's mate. And electrician mate is just an electrician on the ship. And the highest end of the electrician's mate is the nuclear-powered electricians. These are people that go to work on nuclear submarines and things. They're going to nuke school. After they finish electrician school, they're going to nuke school. And so they're the top of the top. They had this little thing they called it nuke killers. It's when somebody that was regular enlisted scored higher than people that were in the class that were nuclear powered and going to nuke school. I was scoring so high that I was ended up going to be like the second or third in the class, and I was going to be a nuke killer. The person that has the highest score that was a non-nuke that got higher than a nuclear person, they would get an automatic stripe going to their duty station, which would mean I'd been automatically a petty officer or E4 going out of school. And what they did was, like 2 weeks before the end of the course, they just moved me. They said, "Oh, we want to do a test program. We're trying a new test we're going to use for a new course." And they pulled me out to be one of the sample students that would do this new course. And they said, "Unfortunately, you won't be eligible for the new killer program." And I'm like, "Well, I'd rather stay in the class." "Well, you don't have a choice." Yeah. They moved me, and I was just like, "Wow." So despite and because of the military, you know, I learned a lot, gained a lot, and both gained and lost self-esteem, depending on the day. It was when it was obvious on one ship in particular that I was definitely one of the best technicians on the ship. And in the Gulf War, and there was a problem with one of our ship's radars. And at this one particular test that they was doing on the one ship every day, it said the radar failed, and it was because it couldn't change the channel. And I was able to figure out how we could, you know, make it work with basically a paperclip and a rubber band. You know, they didn't have the guts to tell the captain I could make it work with a paperclip and a rubber band, and ended up getting an award for it at the end of the day. So I was really proud of that. During the Gulf War, you know, we was out to sea, and we had the what's called the Maritime Intervention Force. We were doing a blockade against Iraq, and we had a ship we had to pull over, and we had to guard the ship, and we're sitting there with these guys and everything, and I remember this guy saying, you know, they couldn't wait to go kill some sand niggers, and I was just like, "What?" And they said, I was like, "Sand niggers?" They go, "Oh, well, that don't have nothing to do with you, that's just, you know." But, and so that was kind of really, you know, really stuck in my mind. I'm thinking, man, you know, what's these guys think of me? And then later on in my life, you know, in my career, it was time for me to go to shore duty. I became a military police. The life of a military police as a cop really just really was a bad fit for me. I'm pretty sensitive, easy gone. I'm not really alpha type guy in most situations, you know. I kind of want to, you know. So I was patrolling one day. I was on the enlisted men club, and I was just sitting there up against the wall, just minding my own business, and I saw this guy walk up to this girl, and he asked her to dance. She looked at him up and down, and then she's like, "No." And I was just like, "Oh, wow, you know, that was cold." And he turned, hauled back and punched her in the face, and I was like, "Wow." And he just didn't care. He hit her, so I'm like, "Wow," and I jumped on him, and I actually pulled his, had him down and pinned down and everything, and I had his wallet. I don't know how I got his wallet, but I had his wallet, and didn't get the cuffs on him yet. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and this girl had just got off the floor, and she had a beer bottle, and she came running at him and went to get him, and I jumped up and put my hands up, like, no, I got this. And she threw the bottle, and it glanced off my shoulder, and I don't know if it hit him or not, but he took off and ran. But when my backup come there, I told him, you know, hey, you know, told him what happened and everything, and I'm like, you know, I got his ID here, you know, so we can go get him and stuff, and the head patrol officer, whoever's the head person on the scene, I don't know, the night watch captain or whatever, he was like, no, we ain't got to worry about it. We got her. I'm like, we got her? He said, yeah, didn't you say she hit you with the bottle, blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, well, yeah, she was going after him. And they're like, well, we're gonna get her. You know, we'll put a report on her because we got her in custody. And she's right here. And I'm like, no way. And they're like, what do you mean, no way? I'm like, they said, you said what happened. I said, I said, what, huh? And I started playing dumb, and I just said, no way. And I wouldn't. And that was kind of the beginning of, I don't know if that was the beginning, but that was part of the trouble I had with that duty station. And it just got to be pretty tense. I felt like, I was walking around every day carrying a gun, and I didn't like anybody else, and nobody else liked me, and it just really got stressful. And at some point along the lines of that, I ended up going AWOL and having a suicide attempt. And then after that, I was out in the Navy. We don't have to go into all of that, but yeah.